Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
God is a family currently composed of two great beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And there are many more that will eventually be born into that family, many that are already begotten by God through the power of God's Holy Spirit and will be born. And that, in fact, is the incredible potential that every human being has. It is an incredible plan that God is working out. God is not a Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not a third being in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, and God is a family. Now, we've covered all of this before in previous episodes, but there is an element that we have not covered thus far concerning who and what is God. Now, that is an important topic, who and what is God, and you do need to understand that God is a family currently composed of two great beings, the Father and the Son, and there are many, many others that are going to be born into that family that can be begotten and then born into that family. But there is, again, as I mentioned, there is another element that we really need to understand about who and what is God. In his book, Mystery of the Ages, Herbert W. Armstrong wrote this: "Most important of all, however, is what is God's nature? What is his character like?" Now, that is a most important question. If we're going to talk about who and what is God, well, what is God's nature and what is his character like? Mr. Armstrong goes on to write, "One cannot know what God is unless he knows what his character is. The character of both God the Father and Christ the Son is that of spiritual holiness, righteousness, and absolute perfection. That character might be summed up in one word, love. Defined as an outflowing, loving concern, it is the way of giving, serving, helping, sharing, not the get way." So if we're going to discuss and talk about and ask the question about who and what is God, well, you have to understand and get into the subject of love. You have to understand that God is love. And when you put this together with the other scriptures of what the Bible reveals about God being a family and the things that we've already talked about, well, you begin to understand God is a loving family relationship. God is a family established on and dwelling in love, and he has created human beings to learn to be like him and to have the opportunity to be born into that very family of love, if you will, if we could term it that way. Now, verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, again, we've covered this before, but let's look at this very important verse. Genesis 1 and verse 26 says, "And God said," and again, that word God is in the Hebrew is Elohim, that is a noun. It's a uniplural noun, it's plural in form, but normally singular in grammatical usage. It's the same type of a word as church or family or group. There's one church and many members within the church. One group, many members within the group. So that's the type of word it is. And so that even in and of itself is very revealing about who and what God is. And then it says that God, or Elohim, said, "Let us." So you see, now one Godhead or one God family, but more than one within that God family, "let us make man in our image after our likeness." So God created man to look like him. He goes on and explains how he gave us dominion over the earth and everything on the earth. And we look like God, but we were created for a very, very great purpose of becoming like God and being born right into God's own family. Notice Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The word image there is talking about resemblance or representative in character. God wants man to resemble him, to represent him in character. God wants us to become like him. God is reproducing himself in man, and we are created and have been created to become like him. Now, he made us male and female, as it says there, and if you look over in the next chapter, chapter 2, and verse 7, it says, and the eternal God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, or man became a living nephesh, a living, breathing creature, just like the animals. You see, we have an incredible potential, but like the animals, we're composed of flesh and blood, made right out of the dust of the earth, and we're our lives are sustained by breathing the oxygen in the air, breathing the air that is the earth's atmosphere. And of course, we have to eat food and drink water, and we live by those same physical laws. But we have an incredible, incredible, awesome potential of becoming like God. Now, that behooves us to, it should behoove us to want to answer the question, well, who is God then? And what is God? And as Mr. Armstrong said, the most important of all in trying to understand that is understanding what is God's character like. Well, God's character is summed up in one word, and that word is love, and that's what we need to be striving to become. Now, if you look over in John chapter 4, here Jesus Christ is talking to a Samaritan woman, and we'll pick it up here in verse 23. He says, "But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." God wants us to worship him, and he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to know the truth, and we need to worship God in spirit as well, in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, human beings, like mere animals, were composed of the flesh, of flesh and blood, made right out of the dust of the ground. But God is, on the other hand, a spirit, and yet, as we see in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, we have the potential to be brought right into the family of God, to be born right into the family of God. And you begin seeing that right there in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, and then many other verses tell us the same thing. God has created us, and we're physical. He is a spirit. We are physical, but we can be born of the Spirit as eternal, living children of God, and yes, born right into his family. Now, with that as a foundation, let's look at 1 John 4, and we'll pick it up here in verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we are little children of God. Now look, this we are the offspring of God, as Paul said in the book of Acts to the Greeks. We are the offspring of God. Do you believe that? Do you understand that and believe that and understand what that means and what our incredible potential is and what we are to be learning in this life, what we are to be developing in our minds? Verse 5 says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Verse 6, but we are of God. He that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. But this know we, by this know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So verse 6, again, God says, like in verse 4, he says, you are of God. In verse 6, he says, we are of God. You see, God is our Father. We are his children, created to become like him. So it's very important then, if we are created to become like him, it's very important to understand, well, what is he like? Notice verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Now there's a very plain and very clear definition. Now hold your place there if you're following along in your Bible. Let me just read you something over in 2 Timothy 1. Now this is the Apostle Paul writing to a young evangelist. And notice what this says, 2 Timothy 1. Verse 6, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Here Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit that is like Acts 2 says, God's Holy Spirit is given to those who are baptized, and then through the laying on of hands, they receive God's Holy Spirit. And Paul's telling this young evangelist Timothy to stir up that Holy Spirit. Verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is what God's Spirit will give you and help you to develop if you yield yourselves to it. If you yield yourselves to God as the Master Potter, you won't be living life with a spirit of fear. You'll be living it with the very power of God and the very mind of God, a sound mind. And notice it says that it is the spirit of love. Now, that's what God expects us to be developing, because after all, we've been created to become like him, and we are his offspring, created to become like him and to be born into his family, and that means we are to become like him in how we think. And going back to 1 John 4 and verse 8 again, it says very clearly, God is love. And so again, you can tie that in with Genesis 1 and verse 26. God created man to be in his own image. And he means that he created man then to become love. Now, you don't see much of that in this world today, do you? You don't see much love. And you may have people who think that they know what love is. They may talk about love. As a matter of fact, a lot of people talk about love. They think it's an emotion. It is not an emotion. There could be an emotional element mixed into it, but look, love is outgoing concern for others, and you don't see much of that in this world. People are concerned about themselves. Years ago in school, I took a psychology class, and I had to have it for graduation, and the instructor came in on the very first day, and the way he started the class was, he said, the most important thing is numero uno. You must be concerned about number one. You must look out for yourself. That's what's most important. And that certainly is the way that most people live their lives. And that is not love. Love is outgoing concern for others. And this world is lacking greatly in that. Now, again, verse 8 says, God is love, and we have been created to become like God. So you could say we've been created to become love. For God, as this passage reveals, is love. Notice verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Notice again, very clear, another dogmatic, clear statement. God is love, here in verse 16. And the Apostle John is repeating exactly what he already wrote in verse 8. God is love. Notice this then. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Now, God is a family. God the Father and Christ the Son have a family relationship. It's a family relationship that is based on love. It's a loving family relationship. The very foundational basis of that family is love. God is a family, and that family is based on love, and we need to become love just like God is, so that we can also be born into that family.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on 101.3 KPCG. Live streams available at thetrumpet.com and at kpcg.fm. The book that is being offered today in relation to this program is an incredible book by Herbert W. Armstrong, Mystery of the Ages. It's a free book. It's at thetrumpet.com. Make sure that you request that. The focus of today's program especially involves Chapter 1, titled Who and What is God? A very important topic to study, to think about, and to understand. Who is God exactly, and what is He as well? Those are questions that people wonder about and have wondered about throughout man's history. Your mind can be opened up to that understanding of who and what God is from Mystery of the Ages. It's a free book. Download it or request it at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. As we've been talking about in this episode, God is love. And we do need to understand who and what God is, and this is a major, major aspect of that. And sadly, most people on this earth today are ignorant, and most religions are ignorant about who and what God is, and many people don't even seem to want to know about who and what God is, and are just willingly ignorant of this knowledge, and it is a relationship. There's a relationship that we need to enter into with God, and most people are ignorant of the knowledge and this most important relationship that's possible in human life. Now, why is that? Let's turn back to Genesis 3, and we'll look at some very key verses here in understanding this. Now, Adam and Eve were there in the Garden of Eden, and God was with them, and God instructed them and taught them, and everything was good. You see that over and over in Genesis 1 and verse or in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and God gave them some clear choices to make, and they made a wrong choice, a very wrong choice. And then in verse 22 of Genesis 3, it says, "And the eternal God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil," or to decide good and evil, you see, "on his own, instead of looking to God to decide what's good and evil, man decided that they were going to decide for themselves what is good and evil, and man simply is not capable of doing that. Now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the eternal God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep or to guard the way." Notice it's the way of the tree of life. So God offered eternal life through this tree, but man rejected it. And so God had to drive the man out of the Garden of Eden, and then they were guarded from the way of the tree of life. So God closed off the tree of life to Adam and Eve and to their descendants, and man was cut off from this way of love for the most part. For the most part, man has been cut off from that. That's clearly what the Bible says. Now, going back to Mystery of the Ages, let me just read, picking up where we left off before in this quote about God's nature and character being love. Again, this is a little bit of a longer quote, but I think it's so important. I'm just going to read it straight through to you. Picking up where we left off, that character might be summed up in one word, love, defined as an outflowing loving concern. So you have to define love. Make sure you keep that in mind. It's not lust, it's not infatuation, it is outflowing loving concern, outflowing concern for others. It is the way of giving, serving, helping, sharing, not the get way. Now, isn't that what you see that is wrong in this world? Isn't it that people are not living the way of giving, the way of serving, the way of helping, sharing? See, instead they're living the get way, the way of taking and selfishness and greed and like that teacher in my psychology class, look out for yourself. Look out for numero uno, he said. And that was the most important point of his entire class. going back to this quote, Mr. Armstrong writes, it is the way devoid of coveting. Now, this is the way of God. This is the way of God's love. It is the way devoid of coveting and lust and greed, vanity, selfishness, competition, strife, violence and destruction, envy and jealousy, resentment and bitterness. Now, you and I both know that this world is full of coveting and lust and greed and vanity and selfishness and the envy and jealousy and resentment and bitterness, and it leads to all of the violence and the destruction that we see all around us. Now, that is the opposite of the way of God's mind. That is the opposite of the way of God's thinking and the way of God's law and the way of God's family. Going on with this quote, God's inherent nature is the way of peace, of justice, mercy, happiness, and joy, radiating outward toward those he has created. The Word and God lived. What did they do? They created. How did they live? What was their lifestyle? They lived the way of their perfect character, the way of outflowing love. When Jesus was baptized, God said, "You are my beloved Son." God loved the Word, and the Word loved God and obeyed him completely. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. They were in total agreement and cooperation. Also, two can't walk together in continuous peace except one be the head or leader in control. God was the leader, and their way of life produced perfect peace. Isn't this what people want in the world? Isn't this what everyone wants? And yet they simply don't know the way to produce perfect peace. And that's because of Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24, and the decision that God made there and the action that God took. Their way produced perfect peace. Their way of life produced perfect peace, cooperation, happiness, accomplishment. Their way of life became a law, and yet people go around saying that God's law is done away with. Well, is it any wonder why we don't have peace and cooperation and happiness in this world? God's way of life, God's way of love became a law, and God's law is simply defining the way that God lives, and that way is love. As we've already read, God is love. Law, going on here, is a code of conduct or relationship between two or more. One might call the rules of a sports contest the law of the game. The presence of law requires a penalty for infraction. There can be no law without a penalty for its violation. So God closed off the tree of life to Adam and Eve and to their children, and mankind was cut off from the way of God's love. Of course, except for very few that God would call, and we have talked about those, some of those very few on this program, Abel, Enoch, Noah. As a matter of fact, the Bible only mentions those three as knowing the way of God and the way of God's love for the first 15, 16, 1700 years of human existence. So it's very few and far between that have actually known the way to peace, and that is the way of love, the way of life that became God's law. 1 John 4, again, let's just go back there. And here's where that clear, one of the two places where that clear definition is, he that loves not knows not God, verse 8 of 1 John 4, for God is love. Then verse 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Notice what God intends for us, and he doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't done. He has demonstrated his love in such a profound way, sending his own Son to this earth to be brutalized, and we're coming up on some very important times of the year, very, very, very important holy day season and festival season, with the Passover and great holy days following that. And that Passover commemorates and memorializes the death and the suffering of Jesus Christ. And what a display of love that was. And verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13, by this know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Now, how do we attain? How do we acquire this godly love? Well, here's the answer. Very simply, we must repent. We must hear and believe God's message, and then repent, and then be baptized, and through the laying on of hands, we receive God's Holy Spirit. That's the only way to have this kind of love. Notice Romans 5, and even after acquiring that Spirit of God, even after being given that Spirit of God, we have to continually be on our knees and praying and studying God's Word and growing and stirring up that Holy Spirit, as Paul told Timothy to do, as we read earlier. Notice verse 5 of Romans chapter 5. It says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, or in our innermost being, the deepest recesses of our minds, how we think, you see. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. God gives us his love through the Holy Spirit. And then we, if we receive that Holy Spirit, we go on growing in the way of God. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, and define the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. This is what can be produced in our lives through the power of God, through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Love is the first thing mentioned there in Galatians 5 and verse 22. Love. And then it goes on and lists other great attributes, joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And you see, we can begin to produce those sorts of fruits because of what God is doing through the power of God's Holy Spirit in us. And the reason that God wants to give us his love is because he is reproducing himself. And God, as we've already seen, is love. You see, this is the only way to solve the problems in this world. Now, the problems in this world seem increasingly worse and worse, and they seem unsolvable. And that's because you can't solve them with materialism. You can't solve them with anything physical. You can't solve them in those ways at all. It's going to take the love of God and the Spirit of God and a change in man's mind. That's the only way to solve these problems. This is the most important knowledge, and it is spiritual. And it is the most important relationship that anyone could possibly have, and it is a spiritual relationship. Notice going on here. Verse 8, God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God the Father and Jesus Christ, they don't just talk about love. Their love is continually in motion. They demonstrate their love. They live it. They demonstrate their love by action. John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do you realize God did that because of love? God is love, and if we understand that and believe and act and live accordingly and allow God through the power of his Holy Spirit to work in us, then we can go on and have everlasting life. We can go on and be born into God's family. But you see, it is about love. God is love. That's what his nature is. That's what his character is, and that's what he has produced us to become. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.